week. I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I love the Christmas season. I know you do as well. And for me, one of the things I loved about Christmas, and really the season from Thanksgiving to Christmas, was it was a time for me to spend time with our family. Now, I'm an only child, so I grew up in a very small family, my mom, my dad, and me, and we lived away from my dad and mom's families, and so we didn't get to see all my cousins. I've got a lot of cousins on my dad's side. We didn't get to see them much during the year, but we'd see them at Thanksgiving, and then we'd see them at Christmas, and so that was always great because I got to play with my cousins, and it was all boy cousins for a long time. In fact, my only girl cousin is about 8 or 9 years younger than I am, and I'm not one of the oldest of the cousins. I had several cousins older than I am and a few younger. I had one cousin. He's 6 years younger than I am, and his name is Danny. And every year at my grandmother's house on Thanksgiving, they would ask us, "What do you want for Christmas?" In fact, what they would always say is, "What are you getting for Christmas?" And my mother would say, "Don't say what you're getting. You don't know what you're getting. You just say what you're asking for, and you may get what you ask for, or you may not get what you ask for." They'd always ask it this way: "What are you getting for Christmas?" And so we'd go around the room, and all the cousins would say what we were getting for Christmas. Danny was 6 years younger than I am, and so when I was around 11 or 12, he was around 5 or 6. And Danny was, he was just a cowboy. I mean, at 5 or 6 years old, growing up in rural North Carolina, he was a cowboy. He talked like a cowboy. If you can imagine a 5-year-old talking like John Wayne, that's how my cousin Danny talked. He was just tough. He just talked tough. And so they said, "Danny, what are you getting for Christmas?" He said, "I'm getting a cowboy hat and 2 six-shooters and a belt with 2 holsters. And boots that won't scuff the kitchen floor." And sure enough, on Christmas Day, there he was. We came, all got together on Christmas Day, and Danny had on his cowboy boots and his holsters and his 6-shooters and his cowboy hat. And then my cousin Chris, 1 year younger than I am, he had on his cowboy boots and he had 1 holster and his 6-shooter and his cowboy hat. And there I was standing there, and I was from the city. I had on, you know, a pair of deck shoes or something like that. And my two, I'm generally, you know, topsiders. That's what I had on. And Danny's about 5 or 6 years old in his boots, looks at Chris, about 10 or 11, his boots. And they look me up and down. And Danny says, "Steven's got on girl shoes." I want to thank 2 deacons from our church. This year for Christmas and my birthday, they gave me my first pair of cowboy boots. How about that? I don't know if you can see them. I took a picture of them. I sent it to my daddy, and I said, "If you see Danny, tell him Stephen's not wearing girl shoes anymore." And I'm just hoping that I won't fall. I was just praying as I was coming up that I wouldn't fall wearing these boots for the first time. I am just so thankful for how God blesses us every Christmas and in so many different ways. And he blesses us through family. I'll tell you another story about my cousin Chris. He was visiting with us over the holidays, and it was Sunday. And so he was in first grade at that time. I was in second grade. And so we went together. He went with us to our church, and he went with me to our first and second grade Sunday school class. And we got there, and back then in first and second grade Sunday school classes, before we go to our little classes, we all had an assembly time with everybody. Y'all remember that? Sort of in the big room, we'd have an assembly, and we would sing songs. And so we'd sing some songs, and then we'd go to our classes for the lesson. And so we were all sitting there, and my cousin Chris, he's redheaded, he's a year younger than I am. He was just excited to be there, and he was the guest and everything. And Mrs. Elder, the teacher of our Sunday school class, said, "Chris, we are just so glad to have you here with us. And since you're our guest, we want to ask you if you would like to sing a special song. Do you have a special song that you would like us to sing today?" He said, "Yes." She said, "You have a favorite song?" He said, "Yes, I do." She said, "What song would you like to sing?" He said, "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer." Now, we didn't sing that song for 2 reasons. One, because it was church, and secondly, because it was the 4th of July. And so Chris was celebrating Christmas a little bit late. Today, on this Sunday after Christmas, we're going to talk about some people who celebrated Christmas a little bit late. They came to Christmas a little late, not just a few days late or even a few months late, but as best we can tell, a few years late. I want to talk to you today about the wise men. Now, in our nativity scenes and the nativity scenes we have on display at our home, we almost always place the wise men at the manger, and they're there with the shepherds and the donkeys and the sheep, and we put them there, and there's nothing wrong with putting them there. That's what tradition has told us about them. It places them there at the manger. But that's not what the Bible tells us about them. In fact, we'll see that the wise men came to Bethlehem sometime later. Tradition tells us that they were at the manger. The Bible tells us differently. Tradition tells us that they were kings. The Bible says that they were magi, the Greek word magoi, or wise men. Tradition says that they were three in number. The Bible does not specify how many there were. There may have been three, there may have been six, there may have been dozens of wise men who came. Tradition knows their names, and they've been assigned names in tradition, but the Bible leaves them anonymous. Tradition says that the wise men's gifts to Jesus had a symbolic meaning, and so tradition says that gold stands for his kingship, and frankincense stands for his deity, and myrrh stands for his death. And though those are beautiful pictures of what those different gifts represent, the Bible does not tell us what the gifts meant. They simply tell us that they gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. However, the Bible does tell us that those magi who came to Christmas late did not miss Christmas. They worshiped Jesus, and they gave their absolute best to him. And so we read their story in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Will you stand up as we read God's word together? Matthew chapter 2, as we stand in honor of the reading of God's word. And the Bible says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Will you join with me as we pray? Lord God, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of celebrating him this Christmas. And Lord God, I pray in these moments that you would just move me out of the way, and Lord, speak a word to your people. Lord, reveal to us your Son today through your word. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've given my message today the title, "Don't Miss Christmas." Do you know that there are people who miss Christmas every year? And that may sound like a ridiculous statement. On the face of it, it may seem like it's an impossible statement, particularly in America. I mean, we advertise Christmas and talk about Christmas sometime in October, and we keep talking about it all the way through October and November and December. It would seem impossible to miss Christmas, and yet so many people miss Christmas. Arguably, many people who participate in Christmas celebrations miss Christmas all together. My neighbors last night celebrated Christmas until 2:30 a.m. this morning. And I can verify that they celebrated Christmas until 2:30 a.m. this morning. I know when they stopped. And yet I wonder, did they really miss Christmas or did they get Christmas? Many times people participate in all kinds of Christmas activities, but they miss Jesus Christ. So what can cause us to miss Christmas? Just look at the text that we've read together. And I want to suggest to you three things that can cause us to miss Christmas. First of all, the Bible shows us this. Distraction can cause us to miss Christmas. Would you agree with me that the Christmas season can be a time that distracts us from Jesus? Distraction can cause us to miss Christmas. And we see that in this passage. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. We know from the Word of God that He came to save and redeem God's people Israel. And yet, most people in Israel missed His birth altogether. By the time we read about the events in Matthew chapter 2, Jesus had been born for a few years. We don't know how many years, but a few years. He was still in Bethlehem with His family. But now, if you notice in the text, He was in a house, no longer in a manger. He was no longer referred to as a baby, as He is in Luke chapter 2. Instead, He's called a child, indicating that He had grown older. And yet, older other than just a few shepherds who had come to see Him at His birth, we're not given any indication that anyone in Bethlehem or even in all of Israel had paid attention to His birth. And yet, there were men hundreds of miles away who were paying attention. The Bible calls them wise men. Look in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. The word magi comes from the Greek word magoi. And the word magi or magoi, wise men, is plural. Nothing is said about the number of men. Traditionally said it was three men because they brought three gifts. We don't really know. But these magi, were wise men from a tribe in Persia who studied the stars, interpreted dreams, and served as pagan priests in their region. They were not kings, although the magi were often elevated to positions of authority. They possibly may have been familiar with the Jewish hope of a Messiah because Israel had spent some time under Persian rule. And historians Josephus and Tacitus and Suetonius and even the poet Virgil attest that during that time there was a universal expectation of a Redeemer coming to earth. And so these magi, pagan men, were looking for a Redeemer. They came to Jerusalem with this question, where is He? Verse 2, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? Because we have seen His star. We saw His star when it rose and have come to worship Him. They saw His star. Now, here's my question. Why did they see what no one else seemed to see? And the answer is because they were looking. Look again there in verse 2. That word we saw, the word for see there, means more than simply allowing something to come across your eye. It means to take notice of something. It means to pay attention to something. It means to consider the personal implications of something. They saw that star and understood that God was doing something. They weren't distracted. Have you ever gotten something new? Maybe it's a new car, or maybe it's a new shirt, or maybe it's whatever it is, something new. And suddenly you start to see that new thing you've gotten all over the place. You get a new car, and all of a sudden, you keep seeing other people driving in the same kind of car that you have. So what happened? Did everybody else in your neighborhood go out and buy the same car you had because they were inspired by your brilliant choice of transportation and they just wanted to copy you? Is that what happened? That's not what happened. It's actually something that psychologists call the Brader-Meinhof phenomenon, or frequency illusion. And here's what it says. When your brain is looking for something, whether it's a car or a shirt or whatever it is, when your brain is looking for something, you start to see it. You start to see it on the road. You start to see it on television. You start to see it in other people's driveways because that's what you're looking for. The wise men, listen, the wise men saw the star because they were looking. They came to Jesus because they were looking. Others weren't looking. They looked up into the same sky, but they didn't see the same star. And so distraction can cause us to miss Christmas. Let me give you the remedy for distraction. Determine that nothing is more important to you than Jesus. If you want to keep from getting distracted, just make it your point to say, nothing is more important to me than Jesus. The wise men were very busy people. There's no doubt about that. Yet they were willing to lay aside other things, even good things, so that they could take the journey and celebrate Christ's birth. Make sure you pay attention to Jesus Christ this year. Look at how he's working in your life. Look for his hand at work in your family. Don't get distracted. Listen for his voice speaking to you through his word. Don't get distracted. Don't become sidetracked or distracted by other things, even good things, so that you miss the main event of Christmas. Distraction can cause you to miss Christmas. Secondly, think about this. Disturbance can cause you to miss Christmas. Disturbance can cause you to miss Christmas. Look in verse 3 of the text. This passage introduces us to another individual who missed Christmas. His name was King Herod. Now, unlike other people who didn't know that Jesus had been born, Herod was well informed concerning the birth of Christ. He had all of the facts at his disposal. The wise men came and they told him that a new king had been born in his kingdom. They had come to see him. And verse 3 tells us that news of this disturbed Herod. He didn't like the announcement that someone else had been born king of the Jews because he considered himself king of the Jews. And he didn't want any competition for his throne. His problem was that he was scared of what he might lose. Because he was the king of the Jews, he didn't want another king in town or even in the nation anywhere close to him. And so he panicked. He was disturbed. His supremacy was being challenged. You know, the same thing can happen to us. We can miss Christmas. Listen to this. You can miss what Jesus wants to do in your life when you fear what you might lose. And so here's a remedy for disturbance. Recognize that God is always a giver and never a taker. You can give him all of your worship. You can give him a surrendered life. You can give him everything that you are. Because listen, our God is always a giver and never a taker. You may say, well, I can see why King Herod missed Christmas. I can see why he was threatened and disturbed, but what does that have to do with me? Herod missed Christmas because he wanted to be in charge. He saw Jesus as a threat, and so he missed Christ. If we believe that following Jesus and surrendering our lives to him means that we will lose something, then we'll be fearful about it. I was reading not too long ago about Pastor Gardner Taylor. He's now in heaven, but he's well known as a leader among African-American preachers, great, great preacher of God's word. Gardner Taylor was talking to another pastor. He was up in New York City and they were visiting. And this pastor had left the South and left a great church with a great position and, you know, very secure and everything was great. This pastor had left and gone up to New York City to enroll in school to train himself, and he was making a great sacrifice, or at least he felt like he was making a great sacrifice to serve Jesus. He had left stability, He had left a stable and steady income. He was far away from home, and he was there for school and training so that he could serve the Lord. Gardner Taylor told the young man, listen to what he said. He said, you've given up something for the Lord, and God will make that up to you and more. God will not allow himself to be indebted to you. I want you to think about that. You can give everything you are to the Lord, and God will never allow himself to be a debtor to you. Anything you give to him, he will always give you more. He is a giver, not a taker. You can give financially, you can give of your time, you can give of yourself. He will not allow himself to be in debt to you. He'll always give you more. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Because over and over again, God shows that when we give him everything, we always wind up with greater things. And so Herod missed Christmas because of disturbance. He didn't want to give up or let go of what he had. And then a final thing that can cause you to miss Christmas. Number three, disinterest can cause you to miss Christmas. Look in verses 4-6 of our text. The religious leaders and the scholars in Jerusalem missed the first Christmas as well. And it wasn't because they didn't know. In fact, the chief priests and the scribes who knew the law of God and the word of God so clearly, they knew exactly where Jesus would be born. Herod came and asked them, where will the Messiah be born? And they knew the right answer right off the bat. They knew the Bible so well, well enough to quote from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which prophesied hundreds of years in advance that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Listen, they knew, all those scribes and religious leaders, they knew right off the bat. They didn't have to go and look it up in a Bible dictionary. They didn't have to Google prophesied birthplace of the Messiah. They knew it immediately. They knew that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. So when it came to knowledge, they had it. And when it came to a sign, they had it. They knew about the star marking the place of Jesus' birth because the wise men had told them. And when it came to opportunity, they had it. Bethlehem was only 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Yet as far as the Bible tells us, not one of the chief priests or scribes made that short trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to check it out and to see Jesus. Why? Because they weren't interested. Disinterest caused them to miss Christmas. A man and his wife were at a restaurant at Yellowstone National Park. There was a huge window in the restaurant that overlooked the Old Faithful geyser. And there was a countdown clock that timed each time the geyser was going to erupt. And everyone in the restaurant paid attention, especially as that countdown clock got closer and closer to zero. Some tables actually counted down the last several seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then when Old Faithful erupted, people got up from their tables and took pictures, and some people even applauded. But the man noticed something. The man and his wife were sitting there. Even as they applauded the eruption of Old Faithful when the time came, they noticed something. He noticed that there was a group of people who didn't pay any attention at all. The waiters, the waitresses, the people bussing tables, they didn't stop what they were doing for a second. They didn't even look up. Why? Because something that was extraordinary to everyone else had become ordinary and routine to them. Friend, there's the possibility of you doing that very thing with Christmas. For us to start saying, well, you know, it's just for the children and they enjoy it, but it's sort of lost its beauty and its magic for me. Or you might say, well, I've heard that story before. I've heard about the wise men. I've heard about the shepherds. And I've heard about the angels. And I've heard that story before. I know the beginning, middle, and end. Disinterest can cause you to miss Christmas. So here's the remedy for disinterest. Act on what you know to be true. There's no better time than Christmas to commit yourself again to following Jesus as your King. Act on what you know to be true. Worship him as the wise men did. Give your best to him as they did. Tell others about him as the shepherds and the angels did. Praise and rejoice over him as they did. Treasure and cherish everything about him in your heart as Mary did. Don't miss Christmas. There was an international flight flying across the Pacific on Christmas Eve. And it was about 11:45 at night, Christmas Eve. They're up in the air over the Pacific Ocean. And at about 10 till midnight, the pilot came over to the loudspeaker system and said, "Hey, folks, there's something that is very likely to happen. And it's a very unusual thing." He said, "We are fast approaching the international dateline. In fact, based on where we are and how fast we're traveling, it looks like we're going to cross the international dateline right at the stroke of midnight." He said, "There's a good chance that we're going to miss Christmas altogether." And that's what they did. It was 11:59, December 24th, and they crossed the international dateline, and all of a sudden it was 12:01 a.m., December 26th. They completely flew over Christmas. Don't do that. Don't fly past Christmas. Come to Jesus and experience what he has for you. I was talking to a man in our church, a godly man, a man who served the Lord for many years. And he said to me, he said, "Stephen, if Jesus is living in me, then I don't want to miss anything he has for me." He said, "I want Jesus to make a difference in the way I live every day. I want him to use me to glorify him and to reach others in his name." He said it again. "I don't want to miss what Jesus has for me." Don't miss Christmas. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray together?